This week, gold hit another record high for the year as the U.S. dollar dropped to a three-year low against the euro, and the Dow hit a yet another all-time record, up over an amazing 500 points for the week. Welcome back, gold lovers, Bitcoin aficionados, your host here with an epic show for you this week, and wow, have we got some great guests and a lot to talk about. This is the year, folks, 2018. I think this could be it, where the cryptos really take off. You thought it was something last year with Bitcoin soaring, what was it, 20-fold from peak to trough? No, I think this is the year when the altcoins play catch-up and Bitcoin also continues higher. We're looking for Ethereum. Look, it just shot from 2 cents a Bitcoin to nearly a dime worth of Bitcoin. That's a 4-5-fold move relative to Bitcoin, touching over almost $1,400 for a single Ethereum. And we were mining those back when they were $8 and $9 just a year ago. Well, we think we're going to see a lot more of that this year. And I think I've come up with maybe one of the most creative ideas in the 12 years here on the show. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong. Send me the nasty grams. I stayed up all night finalizing my first ERC-20 token. Of course, that's an Ethereum reference comment token, and essentially it just piggybacks on the Ethereum blockchain as a contract. And of course, this is the rage right now on all the exchanges. So many of these ERC tokens are doing exceptionally well. And the neat thing is, you know, if you have an ERC token, mine is coded. I coded mine last night, thanks to some really sharp computer engineers out there, for the first time to where as soon as I list it in my wallet, anyone can exchange it for Ethereum immediately. So right now I've got it listed at 1,000 of my tokens per Ethereum. The minimum investment at first will be 1 Ethereum. That's our pre-launch here on the token. The minimum will drop to 1 dime when we get past the pre-crowdfunding stage. Okay, here's the big idea. Okay, sure, you've got a token. Who cares? There's a million of them out there, just about. How does this differentiate itself from our other attempts? Well, firstly, it's an ERC token. We're not talking about some fly-by-night exchange. This you can hold in your Ethereum wallet. You can hold it in your Ledger wallet, off the chain, if you will. You can do just about anything you want with it. You can memorize the seed if you like, and nobody has to have access to it ever. It's locked away for good. So the ERC token, very exciting, extremely versatile, and it will list on an exchange the second I take it live. I could do it now. I have 21 million. I showed proof to my friends and colleagues already. I have one with 210 billion, but we're not going to issue that yet. What's my grand idea? Well, I'm calling this the Black Swan Crypto Fund. And basically what we have is a conundrum. If someone says, Chris, okay, I'm interested. I want to give you an Ethereum. But what happens when Ethereum runs to 2,500, which it looks like it's positioned to do? You know, how do I protect myself from that opportunity cost? Because that was a big issue last year with Bitcoin. As soon as you invested your Ethereum or Bitcoin in something, you were like, wait a minute. What if this thing doesn't work out and Bitcoin and Ethereum just shot up? We've resolved that. The majority of it is invested with a very small amount of leverage between 3 and 5 fold. That means that everything, every dollar invested, every token invested is diversified among Monero, Ethereum, Bitcoin, Z Classic, Z Cash, name something, insert it there, Bitcoin Gold and Bitcoin Cash. So we have that at a 3 to 5 leverage, so you don't have to worry if there's an explosion in any of the coins that are invested because you're positioned to make 3 to 5 fold no matter what. And with such a low amount of leverage instead of the 50 to 100, which some people deploy, it's really just a bull ETF. And they're coming, by the way. There's five to seven already requests for listing on the exchanges. We want to front run that and also add some really neat twists that those ETFs just can't do because of regulations. How do we get around very strict regulations? Well, currently in the U.S., it's still okay to have an ICO as long as you cap it at $2,000. And the idea here is simple. The second you send money to that contract, you immediately receive the tokens. It's written into the token right now. That's a super neat feature. Plus, I'm working on a dividend feature but it's kind of tricky. We won't get into that now. So where is the value creation? What's the proposition here? The bulk of it in the Black Swan, we're following, you know, Nassim Taleb's model. Safe as possible, minimal leverage, diversified. That's your bulk. That's 80-90% of the value there. So you're safe. You know you're safe. It would take a total collapse to wipe us out. And even then, you'd probably still have the bulk of your funds because the leverage would knock you out of the trade sooner than most people. The remaining 5 or 10% is invested in what I think will be the best year for ICOs I've ever seen. Crowdfunding this year, it is red hot. The problem is differentiating. Well, I've got the inside whale who has hit so many home runs for me already, and I see just blue skies ahead. I think this is the year, and I do think they might regulate everything out of existence. So I see like a 2 to 10x opportunity here, and it might be all over by the end of 2018 before they regulate everything out. People just have to withdraw their funds. But that's my proposition. So that's it in a nutshell. All right, moving on to this week's big show. We've got Bill Murphy from GATA. He is as bullish as I am on the precious metals. If you think this is the year of the altcoin and Bitcoin, which I think, by the way, we'll see 50,000 plus on Bitcoin this year. Of course, just my best guess. And I think Ethereum could blast through 2,500. Geared up here to just move to the highest levels in years. The greenback is plunging, and I think there's plenty of room on the downside there. We talk about Stacey Herbert and Max Keiser of the Keiser Reports. They're even more bullish than I am on gold. He's looking for a double, 100% gain. You know, really the great story, though, I think this year, is that Bitcoin just gives 7+ billion people, everyone in the world, even machines. So that's a whole nother interesting topic. And I hope one day, even animals, I think that day is coming soon. Highly intelligent animals and AIs will be protecting us all. That's actually another topic for the next show. But digital money is small as a penny, even a fraction of a penny can be sent around the world. This is a big change, folks. It's going to change everything. There's limited amounts, limited supply. It's transferable. It's mostly anonymous. This just crushes the fiat system. It's over. The powers that be simply can't see it yet. And then Arch Crawford joins me. He's also kind of excited about Bitcoin. He's also understandably cautious in the area. Nothing wrong with that. And we talk about how Bitcoin climbed 1.5 million fold since its lows. And that's just from a penny. You could actually say it's climbed 10 million fold, 100 million fold, depending on your starting point. He says typically bull market would be over for Bitcoin, but this looks like a very different situation. We also talk about the Weimar inflation. And what's interesting, the chart parallels it almost perfectly when we hit 17,000 between a gold mark and a just typical fiat. It went from 17,000 to 100,000, 100 million, 100 billion, to 4 trillion in less than a year. Will that happen with Bitcoin this year? Probably not, but we do see possibly 1 to 1.5 million by 2024. We also talk about the best cases here for much higher Bitcoin and related altcoin prices, and that is most of the big exchanges have shut down new applications. You simply cannot sign up even if you want to now. They're overwhelmed, and Coinbase has been simply inundated with so many new accounts. From what I've heard, they can barely keep up. So we talk about some of the great alternatives there. 2018, I think this is the year, folks. We're going to cut loose. We're going to break loose. It will be epic, folks. And of course, Robert Ian with another must-hear report. We'd like for you to call in with on our Q&A hotline, 1-641-715-3900, extension number 514049. You can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And remember, if you'd like that Trezor or Ledger wallets, we're still giving them away in the ITC tokens, which are up 25-fold. If you sign up for a 5 or a 10 year subscription with the newsletter, you can always drop me a line if you'd like to know how. GSR@Hughes.net, or just go to the webpage and sign right up. GoldSeek.com radio begins now with a market weather recap. visibility virtually unlimited over the precious metals market on Friday as the dollar dropped to a three-year low against the euro. Gold prices smashed through a three-month high, adding another $13 to 13 last week, wrapping up at $1,334 an ounce. What a breakout there. Silver, though, actually gave back just a little bit, ending at 1714, but it is geared up for higher prices. The XAU shares picked up just $1.70 at 89, and the chart pattern very similar to silver there. They're just looking for an excuse to follow gold higher. Black gold blew higher, another three unbelievable dollars. I mean, it's just making me look like I'm prescient or something, because we've almost hit my $65 to $70 target already. Of course, big news there with depleted inventories around the U.S. and frankly around the world, plus a lot of geopolitical tensions. Bitcoin ETF was at $1,970. Well, the top story this week, the drop in the U.S. dollar, it's just in a precarious position. This is so key here. We have a really solid economic situation where I think that very few investors expect the Fed to follow through with their three rate hikes next year. No chance. I see one, maybe two. And that really just has investors turning to stocks, precious metals, bottom line, and Bitcoin. Well, the picture just couldn't be better, I think. As I said, the silver and XAU shares want to play catch up in the charts from a technical position with gold. Will it come to pass? We'll see. No promises, but it looks to me like we should see 20 plus silver very quickly. And I love gold shares here. I tell you, you haven't heard that from me in years. The sellers have just exhausted themselves. It's like, where is a seller? We can't find one. And I think the buyers have been so scared for so long. What an opportunity. I frankly, if I had any cash around, I would be looking for, you know, some of my gold stock picks in the Alpha Stocks newsletter this weekend. Moving on to the Wall Street Report, virtually unlimited visibility over the New York Stock Exchange yet again. It's almost boring now. It's predictable, right? On just really solid economic numbers and very, very happy share investors. The Dow added 507, closing at 25,803. This thing is incredible. It's now near my $26,000 target already. Oh, heaven help our friend last week who said he was shorting the markets, the longtime veteran of Wall Street. We tried to warn him. S&P 500 picked up 43, ending at 2786, and the NASDAQ added 124. Get this, 7,261. Forget the dot-com peak. We're about 50% higher than that already. U.S. shares bottom line, well, we're at the very greedy level finally, as you'd expect. I mean, it's time now for a pause in this advance, so I wouldn't be surprised at all to see a nice consolidation. Little fear enter the market. You know, the VIX and the VIXY are showing really big opportunity here for a turnaround. So nothing wrong with that. Healthy correction. I still see 27 to 28,000 in the charts. So that, of course, was my most recent forecast. If we top 26, and we're frankly there. Coming up after the break, more Gold Seek Radio. Well, my featured guest today, Arch Crawford, combines technical analysis with the planetary alignments, astronomical anomalies. Welcome back, Arch.
Delighted to be here.
What an interesting year, 2017. Financial markets are not becoming more dull, at least. What do you think about giving us an overview of what we've seen and where we might be next year?
Well, I have fairly complex cycle analysis. I said that we would go up sharply in November because all four of them were up. First one topped out on December 2nd, and the second one tops out January the 9th. Another one tops out near the end of January. So what I said was earlier that we would have a large rolling top most of December and January, and that by the end of January we'll be headed down. That could be actually any time within that period. I said that December 2nd would be the first possibility of a downside, and the next 4 days were down in the S&P. It was the first time the S&P had been down 4 days since last March. Now, actually, it did not go down by very much, but it was the first 4 days in a row down since March of last year, of this year. Then the second day, we said that a contact on December 17 could be an up market and potentially a short-term top. Now, the aspect of the cycle occurred on the 17th, which was a Sunday, and what happened was Bitcoin topped on Sunday, on the December 17th. So far, major market indices topped near the opening on Monday the 18th, so far. Now, it looks like they're attempting to turn back up, and we'll see if they'll be able to make it or not. Of course, this week that we're beginning right after Christmas is usually the best week of the year, or is often the best week of the year, and it's the best period of the normal yearly cycle, because I think it's reinvestment money affects the rise in the last few days. Either part of it is real investment money, and then the other is the traders reacting to their reinvestment money that'll be coming in early January. But in either case, right now is a prime upside potential time. Now, I said that there are some difficulties in the short-term cycles, so that it may not be up very much, or it could actually drift off. Well, so far, it's been flat the last 3 days and up very small amount today. But it's continuing a flat period, but I'm looking for a rise into about the second cycle peak at January the 10th. We could have it could lean to the downside, and it still may hold up or actually go higher into the January 26th, 27th period. And after that, I'm saying we'll go down in the first quarter.
Essentially, all that Christmas bonus money flowing into investments as people try to chase the bubbles higher. And do we have bubbles? I think you touched on a few of them. What do you think about the precious metals? Do you think that, you know, we could finally get this rounding bottom that we've seen in the weekly charts on to send us into at least the 20s this year?
Well, let me say one other thing about the major stock indices, that the MACD momentum indicator gave sell signals 4 days ago in the SPX E-minis. And no, the SPX, the major S&P index, the Dow Jones index also 4 days ago, the NDX, which is the NASDAQ 100, gave that signal, MACD signal today as a negative. So we'll see if tomorrow we'll kick it back up, or if that will, that we have actually have turned down in any or all of these major indicators. And then on the gold, I watch the gold very closely, and I sort of follow the silver as doing pretty much the same thing. And I would look at the gold chart right now, and we are, it's been rising very nicely from 1240 to just short of 1300 today, but it is from a low support around 1250, and it dipped a little below that to 1240, and since then it's been rising steadily, but right now it is getting back to the heavy resistance area between 1290 and 1310, which it has peaked in 1, 2, 3, 4, like five times since the beginning of June, the last 6 months. So I would say that it will have more resistance unless it breaks solidly above the 1310, preferably the 1320, and then the last peak daily internal peak was about 1362, I think it was.
So if you were pressed on the issue back against the wall, would you feel solid on silver for 2018, or is it just too ambiguous right now?
The short-term picture is very ambiguous. I believe in the long-term picture of both silver and gold.
Let's move on to the bubble du jour, that mighty, mighty Bitcoin. You bring up this term and it brings up derision or excitement, euphoria. You know, we've got people calling both sides of this, calling for a minimum retracement to 8,000 minimum here, which the charts certainly are calling for, a nice 60 Fibonacci pullbacks from the 20,000 peak. But then we have other folks who are just proposing that this is a network phenomenon. And as you may remember, back in the late 1990s, they're trying to suggest that the email surge and the rise of the internet mirrors or parallels the Bitcoin phenomenon, where you might say technicals, at least during the mania stage, are tossed out the window. There really cannot be a pause, they say. This is the argument. What I'd like to hear is the experience, the wisdom, the sage advice of Arch Crawford on cryptocurrencies.
Well, this is a very complex issue right now, in that blow-off that we just experienced would normally be enough to top any reasonable advance. And yet, it still has greater potential, and I certainly don't want to put my money betting on that.
You actually can take Saturday's allowance over to a website called BitMEX. You can trade Bitcoin, Litecoin, and they give you anywhere from 1x leverage all the way up to 100. Imagine that someone just gave you a penny Bitcoin, $140, $150 worth, and you can trade a Bitcoin. I wouldn't recommend that leverage level, you know, more like 10 to 20. But even if you're just a longer-term investor, you can do 2 to 5-fold on your leverage. That gives you very low liquidation, meaning you'd have to drop to like 1,000, some just ridiculously low level. And if you did have them, you wanted to hedge, you could take Arch a tiny fraction, a dime of those Bitcoins. You use maybe 20 leverage, 50 to 1 leverage. The odds of being knocked out, you know, it'd have to go into the 20,000s. For you to be knocked out of your position, liquidated, you'd only be risking the tiniest fraction of your stash. Aren't manias fun, Arch, while they last?
My favorite book on markets in general and mass psychology in general is Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds, Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds.
Charles Mackay. Yeah, and you know that it's just one of the books of his magnum opus. You know, this Extraordinary Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. He only talks about markets in, I think, one of the smaller sections of the book.
Well, he did have the tulip mania and the
South Sea Bubble. And don't forget the Louisiana Purchase, the Mississippi Scheme by yours and my favorite Scotsman, John Law. One penny, Arch, just a few years ago in Bitcoin, to the current price, get this, is over a million-fold. People are doing anything they can to get out of dollars because it's a losing game. Now, it's hard for, I think, people to wrap their minds around this. It has nearly all the characteristics of gold. It really is, in my opinion, digital 2.0 gold. Contrast and compare the Weimar inflation, I want to say 22 to 23, and you put Bitcoin in just the last year or two, when Bitcoin was at 7,500, the price of marks relative to dollars at 7,500.
Well, I remember even in the South Sea Bubble, one of the smartest men that has ever lived got in, and he made a nice little chunk of money and got out. He kept going up and up.
And bought it at the top. It's a famous story. I don't know if it's true or not. I think I quoted in Wealth Building Strategies. But his niece, this is a direct quote, Uncle Newton never much cared to discuss the South Sea Bubble. He was the Treasury Exchequer, Arch. This is the guy who prints money for the royal aristocracy. You want to know how smart he was? I know you know all this because you're also a fan of mathematical history and physics history. Just to give you an idea on how bright this guy was, he had absolutely a distaste for any type of physical congress, okay? So I won't go any further into that. I mean, he couldn't stand being around anyone. He had a roommate for a brief period of time. That didn't work out well. Of course, this was during the time, I believe, during the plague. Okay, so you could imagine in a room with a roaring fireplace, guess what rats hate? Fire. Guess what carries the plague? Fleas on rodents, a very specific Northern European rodent. I'm of the belief he, like Nostradamus, he figured out by grinding up rose hips or just rose flowers, it pumped your system full of what? an immune boost from vitamin C, and he never could contract it. And everyone he gave it to early recovered. Well, I think Newton figured this out, too. And, I mean, he was just too bright. And as you know, he was an alchemist, in fact, doing Bible codes. Somehow he managed to simultaneously create integral calculus. But as the famous quote says, but I cannot fathom the madness of Routes. My humble dissertation, which the conclusion I came to was that you cannot beat the trend. And Arch is like, we knew that 50 years ago, Chris. But I mean, I had to prove it using modern statistical methods. Can you make a case that people who don't have a lot of exposure, maybe a tiny little bit of Bitcoin, might be glad they have it in the next 2 to 4 years?
I don't know any way to tell at this point. But there are people who are very substantial who are warning against the dollar, significant declines in the dollar, which I believe could happen. So it doesn't matter what you're in. If you're in soybeans, when the dollar goes down, you will have something substantial that would not suffer as much, or it might even come out ahead of the game if you have a pile of real stuff somewhere or a farm that continued to develop.
I started mining. I got a little bored with it, and 8 years ago, six or seven years ago, and you know, we moved 4 times since then. So I finally found the hard drives, and it's an encrypted password. So there are some folks who can extract it. I actually am doing that on the side. I already had my first customer, helped him get back 10 Bitcoin gold. The low ball estimate is 10% of the current market cap, which is 1.7 million Bitcoins lost. But I'm sure you've heard the story where two pizzas were sold for 10,000 Bitcoins. That was the first transaction. Those are all gone. From what we can tell, $50 to $100 billion are likely in garbage depots right now. We've even come up with a little funny little futuristic anecdote that there will be androids and AI searching through dumpsters for old hard drives and iPhones and Android phones.
His was now worth like $400,000, and the hard drive had been thrown in the trash, and that he was going to go out into the garbage dump and start digging around of the last 4 years.
I've reclaimed several laptops that were thrown away. That's all I can say right now, and I haven't hit the jackpot yet. But, you know, it only takes once. Do you think it's possible that this might portend the end of fiat money? Could this be maybe a warning salvo that something new is coming to the financial world?
Of course it could. Well, the thing is, the very real danger that the fiat currencies come under much greater pressure in the next 2 or 3 years, I think that's fairly reasonable assumption.
I don't know if you're familiar, but Coinbase, you know, went from just a few thousand Bitcoin accounts. That's the largest one, one of the largest here in the U.S. Very safe, by the way, for our listeners who are just starting out. We have a lot of new listeners who are interested in cryptos. Coinbase is now signing up hundreds of thousands a week of new folks. So we think we're probably looking at about 3 million people in the U.S., 3 to 5 million now have access. That's a huge leap. Worldwide, maybe 10 to 15 million. There's 150 million folks who have exposure to U.S. equities in this country. What happens just when 3 to 5 million becomes 30 to 50 million Bitcoin holders? You know, that network law, you have to take the exponential, the number of wallets, and multiply it and apply it to the price. Could we see Bitcoin maybe stall and then see similar bubbles? You know, that's the funny thing about bubbles. There's a contagious aspect to them. Might we see this contagion spread, become a pandemic, and impact other similar markets like the precious metals?
I am avoiding making predictions about that because it is exceedingly powerful and yet exceedingly dangerous. So play with your little money and don't bet the farm.
I think that's sage advice. In other words, if you have some Bitcoin, like we said, go to BitMEX. Don't risk anything. And if you're right, you know, you get the benefit. If you're wrong, well, you just move on to the next trade and you forget all about it and you get to sleep at night. All right, great advice. If you had to pick a market or a sector this year, care to give us an idea of what'll really be maybe the Bitcoin of next year?
One of these days we're going to have another 1000 to 2002 or 07, 08. The best bets at that time will be, you know, options on the downside.
Oh, yeah. Now you're talking in true Talebian fashion, right? He's the one who I really agree with. He says keep 90 to 95% of your wealth you know, somewhere safe and liquid. Good is safer than cash. And the rest, if you want to speculate, look for those out-of-the-money options so you don't risk more than a tenth of 1% or half of 1%. And I agree with you, Arch. I mean, can you imagine the type of downside we're going to see when U.S. equities peak? But when things roll over, what I'd love to see is just sort of a nice rolling top, which I don't think we're getting this time.
How the politics play out, because the people who like Trump will be trying to hold the market up.
What would be intriguing would be to have a crystal ball here and see whether or not Mnuchin would support the person who helped him get into power and prop up these markets, similar to Paulson, you might say, you know, circa 2007, 2008. Because Paulson was, as you recall, ex-Goldman. Pretty much everyone at the helm there was, with the exception of the Fed head at the time, Bernanke. Obviously, at some point, the euphoria over these supposed tax cuts and related relief may subside, and when it does, more level-headed thinking might impact these markets, and will they have the firepower, the political willpower?
General public is unaware of the dangers in our economic and political structures, and there may come a time in the next year or two or three or four where things become seriously, more seriously than we're used to thinking about, disproportionately.
Another quick question here for you. You know, you obviously stay so sharp as we advance in years. This is really important information. We like to help people, you know, stay on top of the successful health remedies trends. And I'd really like any tips and advice that you have. Like, how has Arch Crawford remained in sort of a static state for so long?
My wife has studied with some of the best herbalists in the country. She has, I think, added to my possibilities. But my father died at 92. My mentor in astrology died in 96. And my mentor in Wall Street died at 102. So I feel that I'd like to stay in business and up to the last week, as Joe Granville and Richard Russell did at 90 and 91.
Do you suspect that it's the passion that people have for these markets, the excitement? You know, every day you wake up, it's a new challenge. There's new information. There's breaking news. There's always topicality.
The main thing I think all these people had in common was that they loved what they did.
Isn't that key? And, you know, the other thing you'll find is I listened to a really brilliant public speaker. He actually is from North Carolina. Just won't bore you with the details, but he couldn't get into school, couldn't pay his bills, had absolutely nothing. And now he's earning several hundred million a year and living Beverly Hills and has a retreat. Ty Lopez, highly recommend him for anybody who's just middle class or working class and trying to become successful. But he had an interesting thing. He reads a book a day, and he came to the conclusion that the more convinced an investor is when you meet them about a topic, the less successful those people tend to be. He said every successful, intelligent millionaire that he has ever met, no matter their status in life, where they came from, who they are, who they know, invariably listens to what you have to say and rarely ever offers any input. Elon Musk, for instance, he met Elon Musk at a conference, and Elon Musk picked his brains for 15 minutes and then said, well, I disagree with you, but I do wish you the best of luck, and just walked away. Again, beware, folks, of this show or any other show or any other information source where people are absolutely convinced they know where the markets are heading.
Two, that the another famous person, Charles Darwin, said, it's not the intelligence.
I mean, look at these islands. I don't know if you're familiar, but they're finding islands now in the South Pacific with pygmy elephants. Were you to place an enormous elephant on any of these islands, according to the biologists and scientists and their research, within one generation, they would all starve. But these pygmy elephants have lived comfortably and had a nice existence simply due to the fact that they happen to be on the small side, and evolution favored the adaptiveness of the bell curve, which, as you know, parents really get kids like like themselves, right? Because of the bell curve, the natural selection allows for anomalies. And those neat little anomalies sometimes fill the void of adaptiveness. Eugenics really picked up Darwin, didn't they? The horrible National Socialists of the last century. And they picked up Darwin and they just corrupted his thinking. He would be rolling in his grave, would he not? I mean, what is this nonsense about survival of the fittest? As Arch says, it's survival of the most adaptive. In other words, those who can fill their niche.
Same price it was in 1977, $250 a year, $140 for half a year. We do make allowances for a trial for less. If you've never seen one before, we don't like to give that to people who know what it is. Crawford is the easiest way to find it because Crawford Perspectives at earthling.net has got a lot of letters in it.
Type in Arch Crawford, you're going to find him. Don't worry, we've got the links all up there for everybody. You can click to your heart's content till the mouse button breaks. Thank you so much, and we'll look forward to hearing more of these great thoughts in 2018.
Okay, will do. Bye-bye.
Well, it's a pleasure to welcome back Bill Murphy, chairman of the Gold Antitrust Action Committee, working with Chris Powell on behalf of all global precious metals investors. Well, it looks like we're going to win this battle, and I think it's going to start this year. What do you think, Bill Murphy?
This year, Chris, absolutely, and big, big, big time. Short term, I've never seen such horrendous price suppression in the last 20 years.
Exactly.
Gold's gone up a month, but it inches its way up. The gold open interest is going up nearly 100,000 contracts in 2 weeks on the COMEX, which is the buyers and sellers, which means the gold cartel is going all out to stuff the price to keep it, you know, around 1320 or below. I mean, with the dollar sinking and oil flying, they just won't let it go. And even worse is the horrible silver price action. They won't let it get above 17, much less 17 and a quarter, which we've talked about in the past. And it's just, it's so obvious and it's so ridiculous what they're doing. And I think they're going to blow up, whether short term they're going to get their way as they usually do. That's a different matter, but it's setting up something spectacular.
I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, you're really kind of mirroring and paralleling Stacy Herbert and Max Kaiser's thoughts. I have never seen him so bullish on gold. Stacy was buying for her personal account on gold. You know, Max is calling for a doubling this year. He doesn't think 1900 will pose any threat to gold. He's expecting a lot of the crypto money to start pouring into gold as some of these young folks, you know, decide maybe I need a little more diversification. I'd like to have something that looks like a Bitcoin, but I can hold it in my hand that the rest of us codgers out here have known about for 50 years. So, but the dollar situation is interesting. You'd think that silver and gold would be flying right now with the U.S. dollar on the precipice, at least in the weekly charts. I mean, it looks to me like it wants to retest its all-time lows over the next year or two. What do you think?
Yeah, and this is the reason I'm acting like negative Nelly today a bit, because I'm so disgusted with what the gold cartel is doing, you know, with the dollar being as weak as it is. And we might ask, if all is so good in America and the economy, as the establishment says, and the markets are telling us it is, why is the dollar so weak? Something is very wrong here. And I think it will play out as the year matures. And the guys you're talking about, the Max Kaiser and Stacy Herbert saying, I think you're going to get something spectacular. And what you're talking about, that the momentum traders that have made so much money in these other markets are going to pour into gold and silver once they get going and make life difficult for the gold cartel as a buying force that they haven't seen before. It won't be the normal time when gold and silver gets overbought and they correct. They keep on going. I would like to think we're at a stage here now, but that's impossible to predict. And as I say, the intensity of the gold cartel right now is as much as I've seen.
The suppression narrative is starting to become mainstream now. I mean, I'm really surprised to hear just top traders, economists, money managers, endowment fund managers, pension fund, people all over saying we've known gold has been suppressed. I mean, it's been manipulated for decades. I mean, this is widely known. That day of reckoning is much closer. And a big component, I think, to the story, and, you know, we've touched on this, I think it's worth repeating, the whole blockchain transparency issue. You know, the precious metals, they're migrating. It's very slow because it's extremely costly to implement. We made a small attempt here at GoldSeek. We have a tiny silver and gold blockchain. Hasn't amounted to much. But, I mean, it's legitimate. and it works. The problem is to have the infrastructure, you know, it's really costly. As this transparency, I think, gets translated into the actual physical and paper precious metals markets, I mean, that explosion that you and Stacy and Max are talking about, it looks more likely. What do you think could send the U.S. dollar lower here? Are we looking at some type of major geopolitical event, or will it just be the Fed's inability to raise again three times its overnight lending rate this year? I'm looking for only one, maybe two increases this year.
Well, it's a fascinating time because, you know, all of a sudden, even though it's been known for a year, everybody is elated about the tax reform situation and companies giving more salaries and greater profits going to be made, and what a Warren Buffett's supposed to make in 37 extra billion dollars for Berkshire Hathaway. And the question is, if this was so obvious and so easy to do and so good, why haven't people done it before this? In other words, and I think the reason may be, yes, now it's all the good things are there, but maybe it just can't be paid for. And that's going to be the big problem. There's no money to pay for all this, and it won't bring in what they expect, and our deficits will go up far worse than are even expected. And that could be the answer to why your dollar goes into the tank, the question of why.
Plus, there's alternatives now. This is something I haven't read anywhere, not even over at Gotta.org yet. I'm sure it's coming, or maybe I just missed it. Why hasn't anyone picked up on the idea that for the first time in history, 7 billion people have access to an alternative currency to the reserve currency, to the greenback, to the U.S. dollar? This has never happened in history. Look, anybody, as we've talked about in the past, homeless person, you know, in Detroit, in Mumbai, in South Africa, it doesn't matter where, anybody who can literally punch a couple of buttons suddenly has access to alternative currencies, Ethereum, Litecoin, everyone knows Bitcoin, all the rest, okay? There's only like 10,000 coins now. I've created something like 20 of my own. Who cares? The point simply is there's alternatives. It's still very challenging for even sophisticated folks to gain access in size to the cryptos. So where am I headed with this? As people realize, wait a minute, we don't need the dollar. I think that could be the genesis of a new precious metals bull market.
Well, it could very well be, Chris. And all I know is short term, of course, it's a negative for gold and silver because what the cryptocurrencies have done are the reason that many of us were in gold and silver in the first place.
I'm standing firm my thesis that the cryptos, I believe this as soundly as I believe in silver, the cryptos are paving the superhighway, building the bridges, constructing the edifice for a highway to infinite prices for gold and silver. I mean, this is my opinion. I mean, I could easily be wrong, but what it looks like is happening here. The cryptos are exposing the cracks in the fiat system. I think you could make a case, and if I'm wrong, correct me. But what they've done is they've put a giant electron microscope over the fractures in the foundation of the U.S. dollar, the euro, the yuan, the yen, all of these schemes, and said, look, we may just be silly magic internet money, but we're better than you guys. At least we have a minimum supply. You can't really create any more of us. You know, there's just so much to go around. Grab a couple of dollars. Who knows how many more, how many billions will be created tomorrow? That doesn't inspire confidence. What do you think?
Well, I think that I understand exactly where you're coming from. And my feeling is that, you know, that when the silver market begins to blow up by taking out the 21, it's going to trade similar to way a Bitcoin traded. Maybe certainly not to that magnitude, but very similar in terms of just violent price actions and huge gains in a day, sometimes day after day. And I think that what the action in the cryptocurrency has done is paved the way for that sort of event. And I think it's why, you know, the J.P. Morgan crowd is going out, all out to prevent it from getting above 17.25, which is pitiful in the first place. So it's, you know, my same thing holds in terms of Newton's law, that equal and opposite reactions are going to prevail, that the suppression has been so great.
I couldn't have said any better. That's the narrative. The suppression is so intense. When it erupts, look at Bitcoin. Look at these other cryptocurrencies. They have charts that defy gravity. There's almost nothing in history other than the internet usage rates of email, AOL usage rates and networks. That's the only comparison. You can't make a comparison with a free market. And so I think we are going to see something. But, you know, these folks, they're used to fighting. They've got awfully deep pockets, and I think you'd probably agree they're going to fight it the whole way up. When do they capitulate? Will there be a capitulation moment where they just say, you know what, like the Rothschilds in London who gave up on the gold rigging market about 20 years ago? Do you think that J.P. Morgan and these other big institutional players will eventually just toss up their hands?
It could be. I think what you've been talking about will kick in some manner, and it'll be, there's so much money out there now to flow in these two tiny markets that will, it'll overpower them. So in addition to the Russians and Chinese and Indians, you'll have the West, you know, storm back into the precious metals, and they'll just be overrun. And that's when it'll occur. Until then, they will fight it to the end as they're doing as we speak. And, it's coming. It's just a question of whether it's sooner or later. You know, we want it to be sooner. But it's going to be spectacular, I think, when it occurs.
Exactly. I mean, it's just, well, it's inevitable at this point. Last word to Bill Murphy. All right. We appreciate if you could tell us more, please, about La Metropole Cafe, Gata.org.
For a two-week free trial, Chris, and see if it's of value. And then my colleague Chris Powell at www.gata.org does a great job, and they can sign up there, too. So we're continuing to fight the good fight, and we plan to win someday.
Yeah, do your web browser a favor. Bookmark both these sites, La Metropole Cafe and Gata.org. It will reward your portfolio. All right, Bill Murphy, sage advice. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
This is Robert Ian with GoldSeek.com Radio. An important topic to keep your eye on is the subject of infrastructure within the United States. Not so much the politics of the process as in what ratio of public-private partnerships there may be, or how much federal spending the president will need to propose in order to gain Democratic support. Those issues will eventually be hammered out. The question of infrastructure is much larger and more involved than simply rebuilding America's aging roads, bridges, and other structures. Many of these projects will be rebuilt into what is often referred to as smart projects. In one of my November 2015 commentaries, I referenced a report issued by McKinsey Global Institute called The Internet of Things, Mapping the Value Beyond the Hype, where they forecast the world will be significantly interconnected via the internet by 2025. Forbes defines the Internet of Things, better known as IoT, as connecting any device with an on-off switch to the internet and or to each other. The IoT is a giant network of connected things, which also includes people. The relationship will be between people and people, people and things and things. The takeaway is that cities, vehicles, homes, offices, factories, work sites, retail, health, logistics, all of this and more spells infrastructure. The sectors, trends, and developments discussed in the McKinsey report, in my opinion, represent an infrastructure roadmap that will drive not just the market, but ultimately government policy over the next decade and beyond in the United States and globally. Having just attended the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, I can tell you firsthand the smart components, the sensors, the IoT, the data surety, and numerous other aspects beyond the actual buildings themselves are developing at an incredibly rapid rate. And all of this and more will be part of modernizing infrastructure throughout the world. By 2025, it is estimated the per annum economic impact of IoT, and remember the T in IoT is largely infrastructure, the global economic impact will be somewhere between 3.9 to 11.1 trillion dollars per year. I was discussing infrastructure with a top-tier law firm this week and was reminded that it's not only government spending on infrastructure that will take place, but that overall spending will be significantly augmented by purely private infrastructure investments throughout the business world. Because the engines that drive production in many organizations are becoming aged and obsolete. Infrastructure by itself sounds like a boring, old-school public works program. But when that infrastructure is infused with the latest technology and connectivity already built in for the long haul into the future, it becomes a driving force that will be implemented as today's millennial generation starts to become middle-aged. Markets will drive much of this change. Governments around the world will subsidize the rest. QE will eventually have nine lives. Infrastructure was promised a decade ago. It will be delivered upon this decade, starting now. And until next time, this is Robert Ian with ConquerChange.com. Thanks, Chris.
Okay, Robert, thanks for another excellent installment. Well, that wraps up this week's GoldSeek.com radio episode. For two new big guests, be sure to check out next week's show. Until we talk to you again, have a great week.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.